everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing the program. When Tom and I get together, it kind of feels like a Monday for us as a team, because Tom is off on Monday and Tuesday. So, Tom, this is kind of a weird week. It's Independence Day Eve. A lot of folks off tomorrow, and then many, including the Buckmaster Show, going to take a Friday off. So
you got a short week.
Yeah, it's a short week. So this is, to further confuse things, together, this is our Monday, but it's also our Friday.
So today is Monday/Friday for you.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
There you go. All right. Today is Wednesday. It is the 3rd of July, 2024. We're midway through the 13 and a half years with the radio program, and we started the radio program after 22 years over on the TV side with Arizona Illustrated. So we're coming to you from the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio, which is part of our growing Bustos Media presence in Tucson. 5 radio stations now under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. It's also the place for our podcasts, 13 and a half years worth of them, well, with a few exceptions, days that we do best of shows. But there's, I'd say, 99% of all of our work, our body of work, is there at buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interview, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Every month, usually the first Wednesday of the month, we will bring in the vice mayor of the city of Tucson, Kevin Dahl, Democrat, Ward 3. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
All right. We have some sad news to report. Former Tucson City Councilman Steve Leal, a longtime Democrat, he served 5 terms on the city council before deciding in 2008 against seeking a 6th term, has passed away at, we believe, 78, maybe 79 years old. And we have confirmation from this, Kevin. We just got it a few minutes ago, correct?
We sure did.
And that confirmation coming from?
A city council member, Richard Fimbrace, who was the person who was elected to Ward 5 immediately after Steve Leal.
Yeah, Steve was first elected in 1989, and I was telling you before we went on, I remember so fondly our many conversations when I was doing Arizona Illustrated, bringing Steve in. Steve was really... He was the very progressive side of the voice of the working man, I like to think of. That's kind of how I think he will be remembered, his legacy. He cared very much about working people.
He sure did. He represented his ward really well. He was a strong proponent for projects in his ward, much like Councilmember Fimbrace has been since Steve Leal left.
And I think it was according to the Arizona Daily Star, Steve was hospitalized following a heart attack, and I think that was back in 2017. So he was having to deal then with some heart issues, but he has passed away. That council was very, very important. Those were such formulative years, Kevin Dahl. Because this is the time we were talking about what is going to happen with downtown.
Yes. Yeah.
And I can remember bringing the mayor on. We used to do have Mayor Walkup on every month, and my first question was always, Mayor, when are we going to see something done about downtown Tucson?
When I first moved to Tucson, downtown was dead after 5 p.m. It was only government people or bank people who worked downtown, and it was not a place that you wanted to be, in sharp contrast to what it's like these days, where the life downtown, nightlife, almost doesn't end.
Yeah. But anyway, downtown is doing very well, and our condolences go out to Steve Leal's family, and know it's a very, very difficult time right now, but he served serve Tucson very well. Kevin, I want to talk about, I think this was, might have been a front page article in the Star, maybe it was the front page of the Metro section, a former fire station, and we had the fire chief on, Chuck Ryan, a couple of, maybe a month or so ago, and he'd been talking about how there is a lot of work going on. The footprint of our fire stations are kind of getting a second look about how they can be improved. But there's a former fire station, I think, in your ward, right?
It's in my ward, yeah.
So this is going to be a resource center? What's that
about? It's in the Amphi neighborhood, where has a neighborhood that has a lot of problems with unsheltered people. And by the way, the new fire station that replaced it, I was at the ribbon cutting. It's fantastic with up-to-date gymnasium equipment for the police, really well set up for the future as well. But this older building, it was actually Councilmember Richard Fimbres' idea that it could be repurposed as some sort of shelter. When I was first elected 2.5 years ago, it was one of the items that he wanted to tell me about that could happen. And mm-hmm. and our housing community development department took that to heart and have come up with a proposal. Why it was in the newspaper is that what we want to do there doesn't fit in under current zoning, and you think that the city can do anything it wants, but no, we have to follow our own zoning rules and our own neighborhood plans.
This is near North Oracle and West Prince Roads.
Yes, yeah, on King Street, I think. And okay. So it's tucked away a little bit in the neighborhood. There's some industry nearby, but there's some residents and apartments as well. And the idea is to use the existing building as a resource center, which would have a non-congregate shelter, which means a room with cots that people can sleep in, but also services so that we can concentrate services there for people who by appointment can come there and stay the night and get help with mm-hmm. Finding a job, mm-hmm. Mental health, drug rehabilitation, get them steered in the right direction with one of our nonprofit partners. It also has a big backyard because you can imagine the fire trucks would pull in and have to turn around and they'd be washed outside and stuff. And we want to put, generically we call them tiny homes, but specifically they're micro shelters in that they would be little houses that just have air conditioning, heating, and electricity, but not plumbing. There would be the building or something else where people could use a kitchen, could use mm-hmm. the restroom and have storage.
Like a communal kitchen area.
Yeah, a little village, uh-huh. so to speak, for people who are in this situation. And, uh-huh. and we went through the process. Tucson's gotten pretty good at doing public outreach. We had several meetings, including a meeting on site and a meeting nearby at the school and at a Salvation Army facility. And an online survey. There was some concerns from neighbors, and the neighbors are facing the impacts of having unsheltered and people doing drugs in the neighborhood. And they were fearful that this would increase that. I think it will do the opposite. Wherever we have housing first facilities, crime goes down, and because we pay attention to those areas, the people involved in or staying there are vulnerable. The police mm-hmm. help out. Mm-hmm. People who are working in the shelter make sure that bad things don't happen around it. And we will also mitigate some of the impacts by having better landscape screening and a higher wall.
So it's your contention that this actually could be a safer area because it would be getting more law enforcement attention.
Yeah, it's not quite ironic, but that's the truth of the matter in these situations. So unanimously, the city council voted for this planned area development, which allows us to do what we want despite the zoning. And we got a lot of support from our partners who are working on the issues of homelessness. This is an area that needs attention. And one of the concessions or mitigations that we made is that the first people to be invited to use it will be homeless people that we're dealing that are in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So it should clean up. It should help the neighborhood not experience so many impacts from people who don't have homes.
So many issues dealing with homelessness, and we'll get to that in a second, but I was just curious. You said there would be some cots initially in a room. I'm wondering how many folks could this area hold or accommodate?
Yeah, I'm not good at remembering those details.
Think a couple dozen?
Or? Yes, at least that. I think it was in the neighborhood of 30 or 40.
Okay.
And then another about similar amount once the micro shelters are constructed and come into operation.
That is, I mean, are the micro shelters going to be down the road, or is that part of this footprint?
That'll be phase two.
Okay.
We're going to redo the building first, and that can operate right away, and then the second part will be the micro shelters.
And for those wondering, well, where is the city going to get the money? I understand there's about $1 million of congressionally directed funding that will be helping out.
Yes. Thank you to our two senators and to the former Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick. These days, our congressional delegation has the ability to assign some money in district. They used to call them earmarks. That got a dirty name. Now it's congressionally designated funding. And it's a great, because they and their staff know what's most needed. So we're really appreciative of that $1 million. And we'll use some other community block grants money to make it whole.
And getting back to what I was saying about all these issues surrounding the unsheltered population, the homeless population, this has really become a big focus now across the United States with this controversial Supreme Court decision that, in effect, I've heard some people characterize this as now homeless, being homeless is now a crime in the United States.
Yeah.
I don't know how to interpret it. Maybe that's not exactly correct, but some folks have said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The act of sleeping on a sidewalk, you can be moved on, and if you don't move on, you can be arrested for that. That's not great. It's not great having people sleep on sidewalks either. The whole problem needs to be attacked at the roots. And in Tucson, we have a very vigorous housing program. And for people who are unhoused, it's housing first. We're trying to generate as many rooms as we can where people can come. I've seen this because the first one, the Wildcat Inn, is in my ward. Once someone who feels safe, once they can lock their room, they know their possessions are safe, they're getting food, they can wash up, they can get new clothes, there's help, you know, because inevitably you lose your wallet or your wallet's stolen, your ID is not available. Your phone needs to be constantly charged if you have a phone and haven't had it stolen or lost. Once you're safe, good things can happen. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work for everybody, but it works for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And
Holistic approach that the city's taking, I think this is something that is positive. Wouldn't you agree?
I think so, and it's evidence-based. Lots of people across the country working on the issue of homelessness, and this is one protocol that seems to have the most success. And I'm very proud of it. There's a lot more to be done. We could be doing more. There's many partners, nonprofits, churches that are helping out, but the problem seems to be growing, and it's a problem caused by easy access to fentanyl, raising rent rates, and the price of housing has just gone astronomical, mental health issues that we don't deal with very well, and there's some unique populations, elderly people who are living on fixed income. When your apartment is bought by a predatory out-of-state slumlord, and I mm-hmm. use that word because there are slumlords who are predatory who own a lot of apartments in Tucson. Where are you going to go?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have family, you might live in your car. There's a lot of invisible homelessness, people who are couch surfing and living in their cars and staying in motels for a little bit when they can afford that. We have to deal with many of those root causes at the same time as provide housing first, as we're doing.
Yeah, and we know the jail has a lot of people already, and we've had the sheriff on just recently talking yeah. about the jail has people with mental health issues. Now, if we suddenly start arresting anybody, the homeless or unsheltered in our parks, they're going to go to the jail.
Well, there's a role for the police in this issue, especially not amongst mental health, but though there is a police mental health unit that deals with people who are experiencing mental health crisis and are well-trained in it. But for people who are dealing with addiction, sometimes the arrest gives them an opportunity to, do you want to go to jail or do you want to go to rehab? And
okay.
It might be the first time that they think okay. seriously about rehab. But you're right. Jailing is not only crowded, but it's expensive. It would be cheaper to let someone stay in the most expensive hotel in town and give them the nicest meals that, you know, and you know, mm-hmm. we have great restaurants.
Yeah.
Then the cost is of jailing a person.
Well, it's interesting. We'll have to see how this resource center works out, because if it does work out, we could see resource centers in different parts of the city.
Yes.
Not just your ward, maybe every ward in the city would have a resource center.
I think that would be great, because homelessness exists throughout the city.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's more public facing, if the resource center is there and available, that would be great.
All right, we're going to pause right here. It is the Buckmaster Show. Kevin Dahl is with us, the Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson. We will be right back after we take a break, midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006. And the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this eve of Independence Day 2024. Kevin Dahl is here, the Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, Ward 3 Representative Democrat, with us. And if folks are just tuning in, Kevin, and that happens a lot. That's why I like kind of the noon hour. It's sort of a mini drive time. People are in and out of the car. They're going to meetings. They're going to luncheons. Councilman, one of your colleagues, Richard Fimbrace, Ward 5, right. Democrat, confirmed to us right as we were going on the air that former Tucson City Councilman Steve Leal has passed away. And so our condolences to the Leal family. In our first segment, we were talking about the Supreme Court decision, which was dealing with homelessness. And some are saying, well, homelessness now, police could, in effect, arrest someone and say homelessness is a crime. But the city of Tucson, this probably will not change the protocols.
That's correct, Bill. Our city attorney, Mike Rankin, issued a statement about how our homeless protocol, how the city deals with homeless, is in accord with the Supreme Court ruling. We're not going to go out and arrest a bunch of people. We have a non-police response when people are concerned about homeless encampments, and we rank the encampment. It's in three categories. If they're already gone, we clean it up. If it seems like it's just a couple of people and they agree to practice hygiene, we pick up garbage. That's fine. If it gets too big, then we disperse it. Mm-hmm. If there's unlawful activity, not homelessness, but if people are dealing drugs, then the police are called in to deal with that.
All right. Your Ward 3, you and the team have really, you've put a lot into this newsletter.
Well,
thanks. It's not just because my picture is in there.
Look it up, folks.
My picture is with you, and we're promoting the fact that we have you on the first Wednesday of the month. But there's a lot of good information in there. You were talking about Independence Day and the 4th of July and fireworks, and this kind of picks up on what we were talking about with Monica Dangler, our friend Monica from Pima Animal Care. Last year, Kevin, over 400 animals were brought to the shelter the day after the 4th of July.
I'm not as surprised. I have an elderly dog that just freaks out completely with all the loud noises. And in my newsletter, and by the way, I also recognize that the last three Supreme Court rulings besides the homeless one were pretty anti-democracy. And that's concerning to me as we celebrate independence from a tyrant, that we are giving more power to the presidential whoever's president. It's not a good move. But I also mentioned that I just asked people, consider doing something else than very loud fireworks. Mm-hmm. It just freaks out dogs,
yes.
Cats, birds. Mm-hmm. We know that people who are veterans can be triggered from it. Mm-hmm. And there are other people who respond to loud noises, sleeping babies. Mm-hmm. Why do they have to be so loud, and why do you have to do them in your neighborhood? Go watch the city. Mm-hmm. Watch the great displays on your television. But to say nothing of the fire dangers of fire department is on alert every 4th of July, and I forget how many extra calls they did last 4th of July because people were misusing fireworks. You can
Someone
use them
in
safely.
Our neighborhood, it was a couple of 4th of Julys ago, really, really got me upset. There were like mortar. It sounded like, I've never really heard a mortar shell go off, but this sounded like it. It rattled the windows.
Yeah.
I mean, and at the time we had our cat, and the cat was just traumatized for almost 48 hours.
Yeah, and
I mean,
if you do have a pet,
horrible.
There are techniques that the Humane Society mm-hmm. and Pima County
and
Animal,
Pima Animal Care
here suggests. So find out about those, and be with your animal. I think that's the most important thing. And don't leave them outside because they'll jump the fence and get lost.
Mm-hmm. And I really hadn't thought about the angle with the veterans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are people who really have to isolate themselves because they know it's going to take them back to memories that are not happy memories.
So we talked about resource centers, and I go over to the Udall Center where I walk on the indoor track this time of year, try to get some exercise, and there's a big sign, and I'm glad it's there. It says, "This is a designated City of Tucson cooling center." And while I was there on Sunday, there were actually several people who came in asking if they could use the stay in there and use as the cooling center.
If you're living on the
people
street,
people are using it.
They are. We have six official city ones, mm-hmm. one at every recreation center mm-hmm. in every ward. I host one at my Ward 3 office that's run by a nonprofit. Monday through Friday, 1 to 5. And I'm amazed at the services they bring in. We had a van on Monday that offers complete medical services. And another van comes with showers. Mm-hmm. And there's always food and a place to sleep if you need to. Mm-hmm. I know people have told me who, when they live on the street, oftentimes they need to stay awake all night to feel safe.
Wow.
And then they'll sleep during the day. And it's so hard when it's 109.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are many other cooling centers. The Pima libraries are great places and, and some churches. And unfortunately, with climate change, we may need more and more of those. With the heat death, some of them aren't homeless people. They're people who are in their houses and the electricity goes off or they can't afford the air conditioning and they need a place for respite.
All right, Kevin Dahl, my best to you and your family and your elderly dog.
Thank you.
Hopefully you can distract the dog or put some classical music on, something to try to distract your animal as the fireworks get underway. I hope you have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, the Buckmaster Show at the midway point. Coming up, retired JetBlue Captain, our friend Jeff Lattice, and so many of these stories, it seems like every day, of the air turbulence that has become, in some cases, very severe. We had another incident, a flight crossing the Atlantic from Spain to Uruguay. One man wound up in the overhead bin. I mean, it's horrible. Anyway, we'll take a break right here.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It is our midweek edition, this portion presented by Green Things and Zocalo Village. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studios. Green Things is located at 3384 East River Road. Many people are, of course, off tomorrow on Independence Day, but many are taking Friday as well, making it into a four-day weekend. So there's plenty of time to make a trip over to Green Things and add some colorful green things to your garden. Kind of have a pause in our summer rainy season, which began early. So this is really an ideal weekend to put some green things in your garden. Then when we get, when the rains resume again, you'll be in great shape. GreenThingsAZ.com and their sister business is ZocaloVillage.com. All that wonderful pottery and imported items, dining room sets made out of mesquite wood, on it goes. Beautiful items from places like Oaxaca in Mexico. Jan and Jack do such a great job of sourcing these very beautiful things. Green Things in their 53rd year of business. When we do our telephone interviews, we're going to be doing one here in a moment, our live line presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Once a month, maybe every 6 weeks, we bring in our contributor on aviation. He's one of two dozen people who regularly contribute to our program. He is retired JetBlue Captain Jeff Lattice. Jeff retired after 20 years, put in 20 years with JetBlue, with the company, where he flew nearly 20,000 hours of accident-free aviation, commanding the Airbus A320 and the A321. Jeff is a highly decorated retired combat pilot. He also worked at the Pentagon as an Air Force Special Weapons Officer. He now trains pilots on business jets. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Good morning, Bill. How are you doing? Well, I guess it's afternoon now.
Yeah,
good afternoon, Bill.
We're into the afternoon, and I'm in my stack of stuff for you today, in my aviation file for you, I'm going to begin with the story that seems like travelers are very concerned about, and rightly so. The air turbulence thing is getting a lot of play in the media, and again, I say rightly so. We had the very highly publicized and fatal incident over Thailand. A Singapore Air jet, I believe, was coming in very. I think he was maybe an hour or so out of Singapore, and several dozen people were injured, and one English gentleman actually had a heart attack. And then the incident this week, Air Europa, which is a Madrid, Spain-based carrier, they were on a flight. Air Europa was flying over the Atlantic nonstop to Montevideo, Uruguay, and the incident happened, terrible air turbulence, so much so with injuries that they had to put down at the first available landfall, and that was Natal in Brazil. What's going on, Jeff Lattice? Is it, I'm hearing that the air turbulence issue is worse because of climate change. What is your take on it?
Well, it makes sense that that would be the cause. You know, you probably need to have your weather specialist on here to talk about the how the atmosphere gets more turbulent the hotter it gets. But that's essentially what happened. That's the reason why the hurricanes become more intense. This hurricane that's going on right now in Jamaica is pretty unusual for this time of year. Mm-hmm. And it's because of the heating. And when air heats, it rises. And the faster and hotter it is, or I should say the hotter it is, the faster it's going to rise, given some other physical characteristics of the atmosphere. And that's what causes the turbulence. It's just a mixing of air that's happening where you're flying through. Where it's smooth, it's more stratified. So the air is layered like blankets, and it's not mixing. But, you know, think of a cocktail that you might pour where the liquids are separated. You know, you might have orange and red, and that would be a stratified layer where there's no turbulence. As soon as I put a spoon in there and start stirring it up, the fluids start mixing and they're going vertical as well as horizontally. And that's what causes the turbulence.
In your career, did you notice that the turbulence seemed to be getting worse?
Yeah, I would say that it seems, and you know, this is all anecdotal.
Of course.
But it seems like about the last few years of my career, you would run into, especially this time of year when you're coming across the Midwest, it seemed like it was a lot more turbulent, maybe not as intense, like in highly intensive turbulence, but it was more often. There are pockets where you can, usually where the severe turbulence is, we're very aware of it as pilots. If there hasn't been traffic that has gone through that airspace recently, then it might be unexpected turbulence. But there's even software out there where the computers that we use, whether it's an iPad or whatever, talk through the Wi-Fi system to other pilots' iPads that are reporting turbulence now. So we can actually visually see it on a map as well on what other people are reporting. So the science out there is pretty amazing to avoid it, but it is impossible to avoid turbulence all the time. And I will advise all the people listening that are air travelers, I don't care if it's smooth or if it's bumpy,
yep.
You should have your seatbelt on if you're sitting in your seat. The only time you should take your seatbelt off is if you need to go use the facilities. That's really about the only time you should take it off, because unexpected turbulence can happen at any time, and it can be severe. You can run into another airplane's wake turbulence, for instance, and experience, it happened to me. That's probably one of the worst turbulence cases I've seen. I ran into an Airbus 380. The biggest airplanes
yeah.
out there.
Yeah, the Airbus 380.
And, yeah, and he was fairly far away. Mm-hmm. He was a couple thousand feet above me, and he was 3 miles away from me when he passed. But just the air currents blew mm-hmm. his wake turbulence over to me, and it almost flamed out one of my engines.
Are you kidding
me?
It was so bad. Oh, my goodness.
So, well, I was surprised nobody got hurt. To be honest, I called up in the back and the flight attendants go, yeah, that was pretty bad. There's a lot of coffee everywhere, but everybody's okay.
Yeah. Well,
so that was completely unexpected. I've gone through weather-related severe turbulence before where I got a report from one of my flight attendants that somebody decided to go use the lavatory
uh-huh.
as we were descending. And I gave everybody full warning that, everybody's, you know, there's severe turbulence. We have to go through it because mm-hmm. we had to go down through it. And it was only about 1,000 feet thick. Told everybody, strap in. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, somebody had to get up. And as they were leaving the bathroom, the flight attendant sits right there by that door. We hit some. It was pretty bumpy, but we hit some that was pretty bad. The guy went airborne, and the flight attendant grabbed him before he hit the ceiling.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
yeah, well,
and that's where a lot of the injuries do happen when you actually hit a downdraft, essentially, that is so severe that you experience negative Gs. Mm. And people will go airborne, and they hit their head on the ceiling, and it breaks their neck.
Yeah.
That's one way a lot of people get hurt.
And this
picture.
Another
way.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, another way where most people get hurt in turbulence isn't that they're getting slammed against the ceiling, although that can happen. It's when they come down. So you're going to go airborne. There's nothing you're going to do about it. And it's an odd feeling if you've never done it before. And your physical, you know, you don't know really what to do when you're weightless if you've never experienced it.
Hmm.
But then when the airplane starts to recover from that, you're going to fall, and you could fall faster than normal because we might be pulling positive G's now. So if you're pulling two G's, you're going to fall twice as fast.
Hmm.
Right.
Hmm.
And you fall and you hit things like armrest with your rib cage or an arm or your head. or a cart. You hit a cart on the way down. That's where a lot of people are going to get a lot of injuries. So be safe. Wear your seatbelts, even if it's smooth.
Jeff, I was just going to say that the pictures from that Air Europa jet were unbelievable. I think it was a wide body, and one passenger wound up in the overhead bin, and you see legs, his legs dangling, and they could not get him out until they made.
I know that's not funny.
I know. It's horrible.
You know,
I know it sounds funny.
End up in there.
They could not get him out until, you know, they made the emergency landing at first landfall. I think it may be the furthest east point of the South American continent, Natal, Brazil. And they had to kind of pry him out of the overhead. It's horrible. It really is. I mean,
Just so everybody knows, by regulation, the pilots have to have their seatbelts on. Mm. Now, the only time we take them off is if we have to do a bathroom break, and it's for those reasons. Mm. Turbulence has been around for a long time. It is getting more frequent and, in certain times, more intensive, just like hurricanes. Tornadoes are getting more intensive. It's all weather-related.
So, well, this one, this latest story that just hit the news feed is not weather-related. It's a Delta flight had to divert to New York after passengers became sick. The food, it was spoiled food. It was a Delta flight from Detroit to Amsterdam, and before they went over the pond, they said, we can't continue on. They put in at JFK. These people were served spoiled food. And so that actually, this might be a point of education for our listeners. I believe pilots are served a different meal than the rest of the passengers. Is that correct?
No, it is not. We eat the same thing people eat. However, there are some rules. You're not supposed to eat the same thing.
Oh.
So if the captain, it's kind of a running joke, you know, I'll take the whatever, you know, the expensive thing as a captain, you leave the cheap stuff for the, you know, the first officer. But, and you're not supposed to eat at the same time.
Oh.
So those are just in case somebody gets food poisoning.
Okay.
So.
All right.
So,
well.
Yeah.
Okay, Jeff, stick around. There's some news about Boeing that we want to share with our listeners after we take a break.
All righty.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. Pima Association of Governments, the Greater Tucson Region's metropolitan planning organization, is developing a new long-range transportation plan for the next 30 years. Shape your transportation future and tell us your transportation project and funding priorities. Take the survey at pagregion.com/2055. That's pagregion.com/2055.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're talking about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, as a great cooling off getaway from Tucson. 87 degrees, not bad at all. Upper 80s in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Lots to do, a lot of outdoor activities, and a great weekend getaway for the long weekend. SouthwestNewMexico.org is the starting place for your trip over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We continue with our conversation with retired JetBlue Captain Jeff Lattice. Jeff, I think you're from Wichita, right? You're from Wichita?
Yep. I'm born and raised in Wichita.
There's a rich aviation history in that community, isn't there?
Oh, definitely. It's called the air capital for good reason.
Wow. And there's a company.
It's the Detroit of aircraft manufacturing.
There's a company called Spirit Aero Systems. This is not to be confused with the yellow birds, the Spirit Airlines.
The airliner.
But Boeing, at one point, had Spirit Aero Systems out of Wichita, which produces 737 fuselages for the Boeing product. That was spun off in 2009. Now Boeing says maybe we need Spirit back in our portfolio to improve production quality.
Yeah, this all happened, as a matter of fact, my brother-in-law worked at Spirit, but it was Boeing's property back, you know, I think it was 2005, it might have been 2009, and they sold it off. This was part of the management, you know, this back when outsourcing was probably a bigger thing, and they decided it would probably be cheaper to outsource that part of the manufacturing, and they sold off that facility to Spirit. They did other things too, by the way, besides just make the fuselage. That's what they mainly did. But if we go back not that far in history, the 737 MAX problem, the piece of equipment that was at fault, which was their angle of attack or gauge, it's a sensor that measures how much angle the airplane is flying through the air. That was the thing that malfunctioned in the MAX, the 737 MAX, and it was built also by Spirit.
Really?
Just so you know. Yes. Wow. Spirit has been kind of a problem for Boeing. So it does make sense that Boeing needed to get more control over that part of the manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, those door plugs are built there too, the one that blew out on the Alaskan flight. Now, that wasn't a Spirit issue. That was after they transported the fuselage up to Seattle for final assembly. They take those door plugs out, and they didn't install it correctly in Seattle. Just so I'm not blaming my Wichita buddies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I heard you say before it's transferred up to Seattle. Well, I have this this image of a fuselage on a like a flatbed truck. How the heck do they get it?
Very close on rail cars.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'll send you a picture of because actually it wasn't that. It was like 2 or 3 years ago, maybe longer. I can't remember. But one of those trains derailed somewhere in the West. It was kind of mountainous where it derailed, and all these 737 fuselages ended up in a river.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Yeah.
I hope they were insured. Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the deal with Boeing? They're obviously under so much scrutiny right now. They're trying to kind of recover the public image. Where do they go? Where do they go from here, Jeff Lattis?
I don't know. Obviously, I don't think they're in trouble, but they'll always exist. And that's just because there's only one other major large airline manufacturer, and that's Airbus. Boeing will survive this, but I think they are literally trying to get their hands around the problems that have developed over the last 30 years, ever since McDonnell Douglas and Boeing merged together. And that was kind of where the problem started. And quality has gone down, and it's all been about, it's probably been about competition and trying to make things cheaper, to be honest. But this is leading into, you were telling me what we might talk about today, and you were saying we might talk about pilot issues on hiring. The pilot hiring has slowed down considerably right now. And a lot of it is because of these manufacturing problems at Boeing. And Airbus also has a problem. And it's related to Raytheon.
Huh.
Raytheon made components for the new engines for the Airbus 320s and 321s that was found to be faulty and ended up grounding large portions of the Airbus 320, 321 fleet.
Really?
Last fall. As a matter of fact, Spirit, the airline Spirit, they still have 41 airplanes that have been grounded since last October.
Wow.
Because of these engine problems. Spirit was one of the first companies that got these new engines. So it's the older of the newer engines that are having the problems.
Hmm.
But it's enough that it affects the hiring, that airlines aren't hiring right now because they aren't getting new airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can expect probably for the rest of the summer that if you're planning on traveling, expect busy airports. Expect full flights because they didn't get as many airplanes out to fly this summer than they expected. So
okay.
That's kind of a problem. If people have seen this, that's part of the problem.
All right, Jeff, we're going to have to go, but I'll try to bring you on in a couple of weeks here, and we'll get an update on how the summer travel's going. Thank you. Hope you have a great fourth. Thanks, Jeff.
Well, thanks, Bill. Nice to be on.
Always a Take pleasure. Care. Thank you. Jeff Lattis, our friend, retired Jeff, JetBlue captain. All right. Hope everybody has a great 4th of July. We've got best of shows Thursday and Friday. Talk to you live Monday. Have a great weekend.